Well, let me lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you have spoken through your word, and we pray that you would help us to be good listeners, that by your spirit you would be at work in our minds and hearts and wills to transform us more into the likeness of Christ. Amen. Church is God's people gathered. The main word for the church, ecclesia, just means gathering. It's church is when God's people get together. But is there anything special or purposeful about the gathering of church? How is it different to other gatherings? And what ought to be our focus and our priority as we gather together? You probably gathered with all sorts of people in this past week for different reasons. You might have gathered around the TV with your family to watch your favourite TV show. You might have gathered in various waiting rooms at doctor's surgeries. You might have gathered at the shops to do the groceries. And sometimes you interact with those people with a common goal and purpose and a shared moment together. Other times you just happen to be in the same room. It wasn't that long ago. I was in hospital wearing one of those backward gowns and paper underwear. And everyone's very awkwardly sitting there waiting for their turn to go in for surgery. And I tried to strike up conversation with a few people, but nobody was interested. We just sat there awkwardly. But when we're at church, what do we do? What's the purpose of the gathering? What do we do when we get together for church? This is important, these questions. Here we are in our sixth and final week looking at the doctrine of church in our sermon series. We've seen that when we're saved by trusting Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, we are drawn into the church automatically, part of the universal church of God's people gathered around his throne worshipping in the spiritual reality of the heavenly realms. We are automatically part of that universal church which transcends time and space and which is a little picture of what the eternal reality of the new heavens and new earth will be like. And because when we're saved, we become part of that universal church, we ought to be part of a physical manifestation of that in the local church. We ought to belong to one of these churches scattered around Picton and around Wallandilly and around the world that gather week by week to fellowship together, to encourage one another, to hear from God's word, all the things that God's people do. But what is it that we do? When we gather, what do we gather for? And what do we do when we gather? In many ways, that has to come back to our purpose, doesn't it? And Glenn did a great job last week of outlining that. And Peter, you might put his little image up if you can from the first slide of the PowerPoint. He talked to us about how, at the bottom of the cross, we build one another up in knowing God, in our ministry to one another, in our fellowship together. The church is built up in maturity into Christ. And as we're built up, that flows into worship of God because we realise all that he's done for us. We come to know him more and that brings us to worship him and honour him as we gather together for worship together. But also in the rest of our lives, Romans 12 talks about every part of our lives being our spiritual act of worship, the sacrifice of our very lives in service of him. And that has its effect on others around us by our works of service and care for the poor and needy or looking out for our community and neighbours around us. And it has its effect in our worshipping God in front of them, which is evangelism, telling people how great God is and the love of Christ that can be theirs just as we have received it by trusting him. So this is the purpose of the church. Another way to put it might be through our church vision, which will come up on the screen also, that we are on about bringing life, growth and love in Jesus Christ. So as we set about to fulfill those purposes, what do we do when we gather? Because the gathering isn't the only thing that we do as a church. There's lots of things that happen. What do we do when we gather? The second half of 1 Corinthians is probably one of the most extended discussions of what church is, or what happens in the Christian gathering that we have in our Bibles. It goes from the idea of fleeing idolatry and how to connect with the idolatry of the people around them in chapter 8, and through chapters 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, talking about what worship ought to look like, and culminating in this description that was read for us of what orderly worship when God's people gather together ought to look like. Now, in the second half of chapter 14, we read about people coming to the Christian gathering with something to share with others. And that fits with the idea that we've all been gifted and are part of the body of Christ to contribute different things. But in verse 26, we see coming together with a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, everyone sort of bringing something to contribute to the gathering, to the meeting. Now, I've been to or heard of different churches where all sorts of things are brought to the meeting. One that my brother-in-law attended up in North Queensland, where there was a clown show as part of the service. Another, where the sermon was replaced by scientists coming to talk about environmental care for the earth. Another, where liturgical dance takes place, a dance to try to convey God's truth by its movements. There's all kinds of things we could do in church, some which will be helpful and beneficial, some which will really be wonderful because they'll be exploring the rich diversity of different people and gifts in the family of God. But how do we decide, if we're all going to bring these things, what we should prioritise? What we should actually focus our time and energy on when we gather as God's people and everyone brings their contribution? What's to stop that completely running out of control in a haphazard chaos of everyone trying to bring their different emphasis and priority to the church gathering? Well, if you have a look carefully at 1 Corinthians 14:26, there's a golden rule that helps us determine what we do when we gather for church and what our priority should be. If there's a Bible nearby you, pick it up, open it to 1 Corinthians 14, because we're going to take time working through this passage so that you can see what it says. It says, "What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." That's the golden rule that I want to emphasize. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Now, that's very similar to Glenn's summary of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 last week. In Ephesians 4, God has given various leaders in God's church, and their job, which I take it is my job, is, Ephesians 4, 12 and 13, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So of the millions of things that we could do when we get together, when God's people gather, we need to prioritise those things that build the church up. Now, obviously, the next question is, what and how do we build the church up? Ephesians helps us a bit there by saying we're built up in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're built up by being given a greater knowledge of God there through his word, by being bolstered, things that are going to encourage our faith in Christ. So we're to prioritise things that bring the word of God before us. And that's how we'll be built up, by the Holy Spirit bringing the word of God to bear in our lives so that we might know him more, trust him more, and know how to live his way. In the first half of 1 Corinthians 14, which wasn't read for us, you'll notice that there's a long discussion and a case study, essentially, of the value in church of prophecy versus the value of speaking in tongues in church. prophecy and speaking in tongues. Which one should you focus on in church? That's the discussion Paul has. Now, prophecy and tongues are both things that are confusing and difficult to understand. So I might give you just a simple definition that you can argue with me about later as a working definition so we can just go through what's happening. Let's say prophecy is bringing God's word to bear on the particular circumstances of life. It doesn't have to mean predicting the future, but it does mean reading what God's word says and thinking about how it applies to life. So it might be when I'm preaching, explaining what this Bible passage will mean in your life at home this week. That's prophecy, saying an exhortation of how you should live this out in your life, or an explanation of how you should live this out in the workplace or in the particular circumstances of life and our day. That's prophecy. Tongues, on the other hand, is speaking to God in a language that is unintelligible to the people around me. It might be that I can't put it into words and so it comes out as an enthusiastic babble. Or it might be that it's actually a language that only I can understand, or perhaps I can't. Tongues is a very confusing thing. But the people around me don't understand what is being said, even though I am speaking to God, and it is something that is building me up because I'm being encouraged and built up because it's an exercise of my praise and worship of God, or of my speaking to Him and praising Him. So there we have prophecy and tongues. How do we decide which one is going to be the thing to focus on in church? Well, Paul makes the argument, speaking in tongues does not build everyone else up because they don't have a clue what's going on. It's unintelligible. They can't understand it. And so it doesn't have a benefit to the others around unless there is an interpreter of that tongue speaking, in which case it may well be very beneficial for the others around because they can then understand what's being said and take advantage of it by growing in the knowledge of God and in their faith in Christ and being built up. Prophecy is intelligible. And so what do we need to prioritise? We need to prioritise different ways in which the word of God is brought to bear on the church. We speak the word of God to each other in an intelligible and understandable way. That's a simple principle for us to be guided by. That what we do in church brings the word of God to each other in an intelligible way. That means it's in a language we can all understand. Well, that's pretty basic, isn't it? It also means it won't be a 50-minute long sermon that puts everyone to sleep, because then you didn't hear it either, did you? It also means we'll try different ways that engage different learning styles, because some people just don't like sitting and listening. So participating by our forms of liturgy or by participating in the Lord's Supper is a way that they are engaging with the Word of God so that they can hear it and be built up by it. So we need to think about and think creatively about how can we bring the Word of God to bear on each other's lives in a way that we will be able to receive and engage with, understand and take to heart. The church is built up when the Word and Spirit are at work in the lives of God's people, when we listen to God's Word and respond in repentance and faith. It's important to note that the Word doesn't just come through the sermon. That's really important. In Colossians 3:16 we read, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." There are many different ways we bring the Word of God to each other in our church gathering, and before and after our church gathering, and during the week as we spend time together. It happens through the Bible reading, the sermon, the prayers, the songs, the liturgy, the Lord's Supper. It happens after church, when we share together what we've been learning from God's word and pray for each other over a cup of tea. It happens when we share together the difficulties and struggles or joys of our lives, and we encourage one another to keep following Christ and keep living for Him in the circumstances of our lives. In fact, I would say the time that has the greatest impact on building up another person is not, in fact, me giving the sermon, but you talking to your fellow brother and sister in Christ over morning tea and encouraging them with what you've learned and been challenged by during the week as you've read your Bible or as you've reflected on the sermon perhaps, or something in your life that you've found difficult but you've been encouraged by God's word. Those are the things that make real impact. Every single one of us have the opportunity to bring God's word to one another, to build up and encourage one another by the way we speak to each other, pray for each other, participate in the church gathering together as we sing the hymns with gusto and remind each other of the truths of their words. In our church meeting, our goal should be to build one another up by reminding one another of the word of God in all sorts of different ways so that it can be understood and taken to heart. We should do everything we can to make it clear and intelligible what God's word is saying to us, and we should do it in an ordered way so that that can be accomplished. Verses 27 to 35 talk about tongue speakers taking turns to speak and only doing so if the words are going to be interpreted, and then people who want to prophesy taking turns to do so, and then that prophecy being weighed by the elders of the church. Verse 33 dictates that this whole process of what happens in church should be done in an orderly way so it doesn't get out of hand. Now, I don't think we're really in much danger of things getting out of hand here. Things are often very calm and ordered, almost far too much. Very often you struggle to see someone break out in a giggle or a smile, let alone in an unorderly, chaotic rambling, as you might find in perhaps some Pentecostal churches sometimes. They might be on the other end of the spectrum. I think we need to live a little sometimes. Let the chaos happen so that each person can contribute and we be creative in letting God's word out as we share it with each other. Now, before we keep going, I want to make a brief comment on verse 34 because I'm sure as you read it, you were stunned. Verse 34 says, women should remain silent in the churches. Ah! Yes. What's going on there? And it says again then later on, it emphasises in that paragraph. What's going on there? Let me say up front, it cannot be saying that there's no, that women shouldn't talk in church in any way. Because back in chapter 11, Paul has already given instructions for how women are to pray and prophesy in church. So they're to be at least doing both of those things. It can't be saying they're just to be silent, you know, full stop. Now, I think it's talking about a particular time in church. And just as the tongue speakers are said to take turns and then to be silent if there's no interpreter to help them, then women in the weighing of prophecy, so people are then to prophesy, men and women, share God's word and how it applies to life during the church gathering. But then there's a particular role of weighing that prophecy, which is reserved for the elders of the church, to then say, well, it's interesting what you've shared, but we need to weigh that against God's word. We need to test it against God's word. And that's an authoritative kind of process that is to be reserved to the elders of the church, whom God has deemed ought to be men. And so it's a very restricted thing, but it still is something that we need to tease out, and we don't have a lot of time to do it today, as to how God has made men and women as equal but different, with different roles in church and in life. And here it is sort of in a very bald way thrown in there. So it's talking about the idea that the elders in the church who weigh prophecy reserved to be men, and that at that time during the church gathering, the weighing of prophecy, then the women are to remain silent. So it's only a very restricted moment in church, and I want to encourage us to be a church where we encourage everyone to be able to bring the word of God to each other, men and women, young and old, the diverse body of Christ, all gifted in different ways by how God has wired us and the circumstances of our lives, to encourage the whole body to be built up. I'm happy to talk more about that with you if you have any questions, because it is a confronting and a difficult little passage to wrestle with. But there it is. In verse 39 and 40, we see the summary. It says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. That has its place, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." So our church service should be shaped by whatever will help bring God's word to each other. But it also includes our enacting a response to God's word by repentance and faith. So sometimes we will hear the Bible read and then we'll pray a response together to God's word, which is us encouraging each other in our expression of repentance and faith to God. So when we pray the confession prayer, we're together enacting a response to God's word, aren't we? When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are being reminded of the body and blood of Christ, which was shed for us for forgiveness of our sins, and we are enacting our receiving of that benefit and our trust and faith in Christ by participating. And so in our church services, we're both receiving the word of God and we're responding in repentance, in faith, in trust and obedience. And we get to do that together, don't we? When we speak the liturgy, when we participate in the Lord's Supper, when we share with one another an encouragement from God's word. We need to remember that people learn and receive the word of God in different ways. Some people by listening or reading, others by participation or doing. And our liturgy and the prayer book is actually very helpful in providing a variety of ways that everyone engages. But we probably also need to think creatively about how to include and involve different people in bringing their gifts and offering their encouragement and thinking about how they learn and participate in our church gathering so that they and all of us can be built up in our knowledge of God, in our faith in Christ, as the Word and Spirit are brought to bear in our lives. So when we gather together, we prioritise hearing and responding to the Word of God with the overall goal of the church being built up in knowledge of God and faith in Christ. Every one of us is involved. And it's important to realise that when you come to church, you're not coming as a consumer. What can I get out of church this week? But you're coming as a contributor. And so that means you might think before you come to church, what encouragement from God's word can I bring to others today? And you might think before you decide to stay at home instead of coming to church, not, oh, I'll miss out on what I could get today, but actually everyone will miss out on what I could bring today. Your contribution is valuable and important as a part of the body of Christ. And you are missed when you're not here. It's not just that you miss out, but we miss out on all that you bring and contribute as a vital part of the body of Christ. So, in the spirit of participation and engagement, I've got some questions for us, which Peter might pull up on the screen. Some questions that you might like to reflect on and use to help you encourage one another as we share in morning tea together, or perhaps you might like to talk to me about. What do we do in church that helps make God's word clear to each other? That might be something you respond to personally or that you think about for others. What do we do in church that helps build up God's church? what things might distract or hinder the building up of God's church. So for Paul, speaking in tongues that doesn't get interpreted, that's just a hindrance and confusing for everybody. There might be things like that that get in the way of us receiving and responding to God's word. And what has God been showing you in his word that you can share with others to encourage them? That's just a start of some questions to help us explore this subject. But let's be guided by the golden rule of thinking about what we do when we gather so that the body of Christ might be built up, so that the word of God is brought to one another in various ways and we respond to the word of God in trust and obedience. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to freely gather as your people. Give us wisdom as we think about how we prioritize our time and our energy when we gather together, so that your whole church might be built up, so that we might bring your word to each other, to encourage each other and build one another up in our faith. Thank you so much for the body of Christ, the various people that you have gifted as part of this church, and the different contributions that we each make to the whole. May we serve one another in love and build one another up by continuing to point one another to Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.